Turn to the word of the Lord. We're going to be in 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, specifically in verses 12 through 14. If you are joining with us on campus, you should have those verses on your little insert that we handed out, or obviously you can turn to your Bible or pop open your smartphone. If you're joining with us online and you have one of the blue Bibles that the church provides people, you can turn to page 1123. We are continuing our sermon series through this particular letter of 1 John. Really, John is writing to the church 2,000 years ago and the church today and the church in the future, really hammering home the beauty of the assurance that we have as brothers and sisters in Christ. And John has navigated his way through some tremendous assurances that we have. We have the assurance of the gospel. It's the gospel itself that brings us life. It's the gospel itself that brings us fellowship with God. It's the gospel itself that brings us joy. And we are assured of the message that we have, that God is always light, that God is always good. And yet in that same message, we realize that as brothers and sisters in Christ, we are to walk in the light, but guess what? We still commit sin. But we are to be honest about that sin. We are to confess that sin to the Lord, realizing that Jesus Christ is our great high priest, and we find that he is our provision. He is our provision that is necessary for us to fight off temptation so it does not lead to sin. And yet, in the beauty of God's grace, that provision also allows us to continue to receive forgiveness of our sin when we do sin. John then moves to this idea of growth, the realization that none of us here today have arrived yet in our maturity in Christ. That day will come when we go to heaven or he comes to get us. But right now, we are in a process of growth. And so John would say that it's important for us to take the posture of growing in obedience to God's word, to take the posture of growing in our love for God, and the posture of growing in our dependency on God, the realization that we can't do this on our own. We need him. And then John switches gears and he says, listen, there is a great priority of love. And I read a passage earlier in John 13 where it's our love for one another, specifically in the body of Christ, that proves, it shows the world, it advertises to the world that we are truly disciples of Christ. In our verses today, verses 12 through 14, John is going to somewhat pause just a moment, and he's going to provide some tremendous encouragement for us. In these verses, six times, he uses a phrase of, I write to you, or I'm writing to you, or I have written to you, depending on your translation. And he's writing to us to encourage us. The importance of encouragement in the life of a believer. And John is writing to the entire church, both those who are new in their faith and those who have experienced God in tremendous ways in longevity of their faith. And so he is writing to the entire church, and he's going to use language like little children or young men and fathers. And what is the encouragement that he gives to the church today? Well, it's the same encouragement that he gave the church almost 2,000 years ago. And these are the words that the Holy Spirit of God gave to John. He says, I am writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. I'm writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I'm writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you and you have overcome the evil one. And so it's important for us to remember that when John associates to young men and fathers, he's not just isolating the guys in the church. He is really speaking to the entire church. And not only that, he isn't equating the age of a person with the spiritual maturity of the person. And that is important for us to realize. Just because someone is older doesn't mean they're necessarily more mature in their faith. And just because someone is younger doesn't mean they're more mature in their faith. And so he is addressing the reality that all of us are in different stages, if you will, in our walk with the Lord. That development process of what it means to live a life that reflects the life of Christ in us. And it's with those words that he, regardless of where you're at in your Christian walk. So he's talking to believers. No matter where you're at, if you are infant in your understanding of the grace of God in our life, or if you have experienced God in mighty ways for a long period of time or through tremendous experience, there are three foundational truths that he gives to every follower of Christ. And so these three foundational truths, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, these are true of you today, right now, where you sit. And these will be true of you tomorrow, regardless of what the circumstances are. And so again, John's heart for the church, his heart for us today, is that we would be assured of the salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. And so what are those three foundational truths? Well, the first word is forgiven. Say with me, forgiven. 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 We are forgiven. All of our sins have already been forgiven. He says in verse 12, I am writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his namesake. That's one of the most simple, basic, yet profound truths in all Scripture. That you and I, at the moment of salvation, that all past, present, and future sins have already been forgiven. And understand that it's in no way that we deserve it. It's no way that we can earn it. But what? It's for his namesake. It's for his glory by the person and work of Jesus Christ. And it is a work of grace, because I love the way God forgives. You know, God forgives a lot different than we forgive. Oftentimes when we forgive someone, that truly just means that we are going to put it that experience in a file cabinet or in an iCloud somewhere. And we're going to bring it back to the forefront when it's necessary. All of us have that offensive arsenal in our pocket, that in that conversation, especially with those that we love the most, when the time is warranted, we bring out something from the past. And yet, it's not the forgiveness that the Bible speaks about. We often understand forgiveness as this: I forgive you, but I'm going to file it over here, and I'm going to hang on to it just in case. From God's perspective, biblical forgiveness is the removal of the guilt and shame of sin past, present, and future. Again, at the moment of salvation, at this very moment today, and every moment in the future, the child of God has the full assurance that they are truly forgiven by God himself. And that begs the question, how far has God removed my sin? Well, the psalmist would say in Psalm 103, as far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. Well, how well does he cover our sins? Well, the prophet Micah would say this: who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over transgression for the remnant of his inheritance? He does not retain his anger forever, because he delights in steadfast love, covenantal love. He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. He will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. And how well has God erased our sins? God has erased your record and my record of sin and put it on Christ's account. God has forgiven us, not primarily for our benefit, but for his namesake. He did it so that we could and should glorify his name. And because of this, we, as brothers and sisters in Christ, regardless if we are infant in our understanding of spiritual truth, or we are more advanced, if you will, we praise him. We praise him. We praise Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. So that is our first foundational truth that we see that is true of all of us today as brothers and sisters in Christ. But the second foundational truth is, that we see is that we are secured. Say secure for me. Secure. Come on, mean it. Secure. Secured. Get a little sweaty going, right? Listen, your relationship with the Father right now is secure. You are no more secure in your relationship with God today than you were when you first came to faith in Christ. It's secure. John is going to use a word called, he uses the word know three different times in these verses. He uses it twice in verse 13 when he says, I'm writing to you, fathers, because you know him from the beginning. I write to you, children, because you know the Father. And then he's going to basically repeat the same thing again in verse 14. So that word know, so it's a not just a knowledge know, but it's an experience know, that we've experienced the Father. Now think about how awesome that is. Today, right now, as we sit, the very creator of the universe, the creator of you and I, we have a relationship with him because of the work of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. All three working together for the same will, to draw people to himself, bringing him glory. At the moment of salvation, your relationship with God, my relationship with God, has been sealed for eternity. Ephesians 1 would say it's been sealed by the person and work of the Holy Spirit. And absolutely nothing, that's important, nothing can change that. Our relationship with God is secure. Now, our fellowship with God can and will change depending on if we're growing in our obedience towards the Lord or growing in our love for God or growing in our dependency on Him. And so if we're not confessing sin on a consistent basis, guess what? Our fellowship with God can be hindered, but our relationship with God will always be intact. Think about what this security brings. At the moment of salvation, when that relationship was established between you and God because of His work in your life, you have a new position with God. You are righteous. You are completely right with God. So we have been changed. In the past, we have been fully changed because of God. Our sins have been dealt with, and all we need is found in Him. We have a Father who has called us sons and daughters of the great King. We have been adopted into His family, but not only that, we are also being changed. So positionally, yes, we can't get any closer to God than we already are in salvation. But practically, our lives begin to reflect the love of Christ. We begin to grow in Christ. So practically, there is a growth process there. So guess what? He's not finished yet, but He will finish what He started. We will one day be fully changed. I love what the Apostle Paul says in Colossians chapter 3. He says it like this: "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also will appear with Him," where? "In glory." He will finish what He started. I love that Paul says, when, not if. When. What He started in us positionally, He is now working out in us practically. And what He promised, He will finish. And this is great news to you and I, because I don't know about you, but there are days where I get discouraged. Man, the old flesh just seems to come back. We've been working on a project at the house these past few weeks, replacing flooring and baseboards and all that stuff. And I would have to say that, I would love to say that I'm easy to work with, but my wife will tell you that's not true. Frustration has mounted. The old flesh of anger has expressed itself, and I hate it. The floor's getting done, by the way, but I hate the flesh side of me. I don't want to be that person anymore. But guess what? God's not finished with me yet. He will complete what He started. And so when we get tired of the fact that we not only break the heart of God, but we break the heart of those around us through our attitudes and actions and our speech and our reactions, we must be reminded, because that relationship is secured, He who began a good work in you and in me, guess what? He will finish it. He will complete it. Why? Because our relationship and our life is already secured in Him. Child of God, do you feel assured today? As you look back these past couple months specifically, even yesterday and the week before, do you feel secured in your relationship with God? Not because of your performance, but because of His provision in your life. You see, the cross not only proves His love for you, the cross secures His love for you. We are forgiven. We are secured. And thirdly, foundational truth for every single believer here today and joining with us online: we are victorious. Our enemy has been defeated. John says in verse 13, "I am writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one." The reality is, the Christian life is a war between the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. And in that war, guess what? There are many, many battles. And we must face each and every battle with complete dependency on Him. You see, today, right now, you may be walking in the light. You may be enjoying fellowship with God today. But tomorrow, there's a battle brewing. When you leave here today, there's going to be a battle brewing. And our dependency on God shows us that we have victory in God. How? Well, what does He say? John says, "I write to you, young men, because you are what? You are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one." The fact that you and I today, we're strong. Why? Because of the Holy Spirit's work in our life. Not strong in our own strength, but strong in the Spirit of God who dwells in the hearts of His people. that our greatest provision has been met. Our greatest protection has already been met. The greatest power that you and I need to conquer constantly the desires of the flesh are found in the Holy Spirit of God himself, the great comforter and counselor of our soul. And then he says, the word of God abides in you. You and I today have the very word of God. The word that God breathed on paper, right? We have it in our hands. We can read it at any time, and it's as we abide in God's word. That means to remain, to rest in his word. You see, the one thing that you and I can't do as brothers and sisters in Christ, especially when times are hard, when we are facing great unknowns in life, is move ourselves from the shelter of God's word. And if you were to confess today, your past week, your past month, your past 3 months, have you really been under the shelter of God's word? Or have you moved to the shelter of Facebook or the shelter of what's happening on the news? We need God's word. It's what renews our mind. It's what puts God in the center of everything. It's what filters all things rightly through the lens of the beauty of the gospel. And it's when those things happen, when we are strong because of the Spirit, and we are abiding and remaining and resting in the word of God, the scripture says that we have overcome the evil one. So even though this battle wages, and it will wage, we are victorious in Christ. We are overcomers. So when Satan accuses you and me of sin, guess what? We trust in the work of Christ. His accusation most often is true, right? We are sinners. But yet, we trust in the work of Christ. And when Satan tempts you to sin and tempts me to sin and tries to rob us of the very life that God desires for you and I, guess what? We turn to God's word and we see the life that God desires and supplies for us in Christ. So what is our response today? Based on those three foundational truths, the fact that we're forgiven, the fact that we're secure in our relationship with the Lord because of his work, and the fact that we're victorious, which one of those do you struggle with the most today? As a brother and sister in Christ, are you struggling with the fact that all your sins, past, present, and future, have already been forgiven? Are you struggling with the security that you have in your relationship with the Lord, again, not because of your work, but the finished work of Christ and the Holy Spirit's work in your life? Are you struggling to live the victorious life that God has already provided for us? Not only would I encourage you to humbly go before the Lord and ask him for a greater assurance in whatever that struggle is, but also take a moment and consider the missional component of these realities. These realities bring a missional component to the table. What do I mean by that? For every single person who doesn't have a personal relationship with the Lord, they're not forgiven. They're not secure. And they are not victorious. And so the question for the church today, in the midst of all the hostility, in the midst of all the chaos, will you choose today, right now, based on the assurance that you already have in Christ, will you choose to live your faith, teach your faith, and evaluate your faith? Are you willing, under the Spirit's work and power in your life, to grab a hold of the great mission that we should have as a church, the ministry that the Apostle Paul spoke of in Colossians 1, 28 and 29, those verses that I pray that you are not only memorizing, but you are putting those in your heart and in action, that him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may what? We may present every person mature in Christ. For this we toil and we struggle. But we do so what? In all the power and strength that he supplies to us. Not just to those who know him, but to those who do not know him. Will you commit your life to these truths? So it's not only important that we believe these things, but as we spend time together as brothers and sisters in Christ, we're going to find that we're not all on the same page spiritually. And there are times where we have seasons where we are acting like a mature adult in our faith, and sometimes we're acting like children. So how do we take these truths, encourage one another, to remind one another that our sins have been forgiven, to remind one another that we are secure in Christ, and to remind one another that because of Christ, we are victorious? As we stand and sing this next song, How Great Is Our God, let it just be a time of response. I ask that you would respond where you're at right now. If you're joining with us online, just use this time as a response as well.